Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين. السلام عليكم, this is your brother Khaled. I'm going to bring on the Octop in a minute. Just one second. I cut him off by accident. It should be on any second now. There you go. Octop.
Yes, indeed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. My fault. I'm sorry. I was playing with the switchboard.
Khalid, no need to apologize. We're all human. That's why when the person that when he invented pencil, soon after, a week later, he made an eraser.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we make
just wanted to know where what happened, and we have some calls.
Khalid?
We want to let the listeners know that anytime you want to join the conversation with a purpose, just press number one on the phone. And tell us your name and where you're calling from, and we're here with a question or your statement you wanted to contribute for tonight's conversation. So how you been, Atab? What's been happening?
Allah, everything's been very well. I can't complain, Aki.
Okay.
You know, Allah's
you
been...
You the college national championships?
Pardon?
Championship basketball game, the championship, the college national championships?
I missed that, you know. I heard it was a great game, and I missed it.
It was a great game, and you know, I thought it was a couple of signs. You know, the player, one of the players of the winning team, Louisville, in the game before the championship, he had, well, actually two games before the championship, he had broke his leg in a most horrible fashion.
I caught that on the news. I couldn't even look at it.
Oh, yeah, he don't even want to look at it. You know,
looking at it on the news make you feel pain. That's looking at it.
I'm telling you, man. Well, it was one of those moments, I think, whoever was watching, everybody who was watching just felt stunned, you know? But I felt that the sympathy of many went to that particular team because of the trial he went through.
Exactly.
And that carried them through. But it was a great game. It was a great game. I thought Mitch was going to win. I wanted Michigan to win. That was my favorite team. But this guy came storming back, I'm telling you. It was a fantastic game. And all that stuff. But I thought I'd mention that. But I thought another thing I just saw this morning, my morning, you know, 15 hours ahead of you.
Exactly.
But early in the morning, I saw a headline that said, like, President Obama submits a $3.8 trillion budget, and you know that's some of mine too. $3.8 trillion, you know.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money, man. How hard it is to get jobs in the states, you know, in mainland. People giving
up. It's very difficult. Some states, well, there are states that are doing well, like Texas. But here in the Northeast region, you know, talking about New York, the tri-state area, Connecticut, New Jersey, jobs are very tight here, you know.
Yeah. I know, well, but to me it's a solution. And the solution is like Don Balazs Mama said, you know, do for self. You know?
Exactly.
We should be able to evolve and use our brain and the talented God has given us, you know, look within and create a job for ourselves, you know.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to be stuck in the merry-go-round like others are and depend on the wind will blow a certain direction for us to be fortunate in securing some economic funds. So you have to use, it's a test, and you have to be able to see two things in schemes, you know, because people could be pulling strings, national strings I'm talking about, and trying to influence, they do influence, you know, the what's going on in the community or in the nation, you hear about, in religion, you hear, and I believe I know that Allah, God, wants us to have a life full and abundant life. That's how Jesus Christ the prophet put it. God wants to have life, have life abundantly. So
exactly.
All these woes, and these sad tales of helplessness almost, nations are sinking. The economic pressure, they're going bankrupt, and like I said, people controlling these things for their own benefit.
Exactly. That's so that affects it, because basically everybody's not hurting. There are a few that are doing very well. But, we're not supposed to look out for the few. We're supposed to look out for the many.
Mm-hmm. So true. But what I'm trying to lead up to is that the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce is having an event called Economic Resurrection on April 28th. And my feedback on I'm getting a little feedback on it, and the feedback is amazing of how the heavy hitters are coming out. People really, people are known for their righteousness, their concern for community life and human beings. And we want to see the whole thing change around where people have some type of pocket, don't have to worry about. When you have money in the bank and your bills are paid, it's a big burden off your. The burden's
so long,
you have to worry so much and be stressful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Look at it like this, Khalid. Money isn't everything, but let me explain it to you in clear terms. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
You're right. And my mother used to say, it's not fun being old and sick and have no money, That's worse than be old and have no money and be sick at the same time,
And it's so horrible.
Yeah. So
our Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah bless him with the choicest blessings in paradise and give him a lofty place in paradise for the great work that he did. But that's why he was beginning to move away from being so spiritual and start moving us into developing economically with CPC. That was the whole purpose of CPC, to get us to be in the business-mindedness. Because we got the spirituality, we got enough lessons for generations. But many of us don't have resources yet. We got masjids that can barely stay open. And when I go to immigrant masjids, Khalid, this is the truth. I went to one masjid, and these are mostly brothers from Pakistan and from Philistine and from Egypt. These brothers raised in one night $180,000 in an hour during the month of Ramadan. That would take most of our people in our communities and these masjids years to raise up 180 grand. They raised it up in an hour. And I realized who was donating. It was a lot of people were business people. There were some doctors, but the people that were getting real heavy, they were business people.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, that is what this workshop, I'm saying, quote-unquote, workshop was brought to you by the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce. The title of it is Economic Resurrection. And I hope that our brother Helene Caduce, he's the generator. He got this thing together. He's the organizer of this particular event. I think it's just going to be great. And I think people will be real benefit for people to go there. And even if you don't, you'll see some good results springing from this one meeting of believers from this particular workshop that's happening on April 28th. We got an hour, and then I hope Helene calls in and we'll get an update from him about it. So, And there's another way to keep you informed is to join our social network at www.wearewiththeimam.com. wearewiththeimam.com. It'll carry all the updates about this particular event that's happening on April 28th, Economic Resurrection. But there was a fantastic event that happened last weekend with the Southwest Conference. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I did not. See, what happened, I got off the line around, my battery went dead on my phone. I used my phone last about an hour and a half. But I didn't get much feedback. I wish I could have stayed on the line, you know?
Yeah. So right on Facebook, there's pictures, and a couple of brothers I know that called up and found out they had a pretty good time, and there's concern about the Day of Unity that happened last Juma, but it turned out to be a great thing, a misunderstood thing by some people. But basically, you know, it's almost peace, and you're supposed to be in you're supposed to be in an action of peace. You know, looking for a work, to looking for in other people, not only have a common insight or common lookout, but to have a work to do together to bring about a better environment. So that was the Day of Unity on Friday, where Tiffany managed from our community, 25, I think, or 31, her number 31. Went to Houston, and they were assigned a master to or Islamic Center to do a conduct the cookbook. One brother was telling me how big Houston is. You know, it's a big city, fourth largest city in America. But 800 miles wide. You know, 800 miles wide. So this particular brother who's going to do the Juma in a place that was far away, and he got there late because he got the wrong address and all that. But he finally got there, and the people he was warmly greeted. And then our community was warmly greeted by immigrant community, and he thinks they were from Egypt. And he conducted like the second half of the Juma. Because Juma was going on. But we had a great time. Warming with them, coming for a common purpose, and to find where to go from here, you know. And had a Quran symposium on Saturday. And went to banquet, youth banquet, and they had an email meeting. And hopefully we'll get a report for someone. And get better ground. But I heard it was just a wonderful thing.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's good. We need more of that, you know. That's very healthy for the community, you know. But
one thing surprises. I want to just say this: the one thing surprises, brother, is that he was impressed by the youth and our future leaders. They were down there. That particular region of the country, it seemed a real big positive effort to qualify our young people to become the next leaders.
That's right.
They had a little chronic, I don't know what they have, but test or not test, but contest or reciting ceremony. And they were saying, these guys, they can talk. Chronic Arabic, and they can understand it, and they can translate it in a beautiful way, so in English, so people can understand. And what they understand is Imam Muhammad himself is the pastor of Imam to deliver the word, and that's really that knocks them out. And me hearing him say that, they knock me out too, you know.
That's a blessing.
Now, I'm on the page of the social network, www.wearewiththeimam.name.com, and about the events that I picked up. We have an events section that tells us what's going on. And what's going on right now is our brother Mukhtar from Florida at Famco Publishers, they're having an award, a scholarship award, for his literary award. The awardees are going to be awarded on June 20th. But right now they're gathering all the one collection, and due to our scholars going to college, it's a little spending change when we go to school. So that's going to be the actual event. It's going on now, and you can go to www.famcopublishers, FAMACOPUBLISHERS.com, and you can see the scholarships there. So now, one of our hosts on Monday, I want to say two things about that. Our brother AJ Hakeem Yemeni and his wife Rayla Q, they host the program on Monday, 8 o'clock, right here on the station IWDM, The Health and Wealth of Natural Community Life. The Health and Wealth of Natural Life. Brother AJ Hakeem, this past Monday, he interviewed a brother who's been in our community for a long time. He entered in 1961, I believe. And his name is I got a name on the tip of my tongue. The middle name is Jamal. The last name is Ali. Ali.
Uh-huh.
And so they had a pretty good interview. So, you can go to our station website, and you can capture the archive of that particular program. I highly recommend it. But also, Brother Yemeni has been invited to address the Global Health and Humanitarian Summit that's happening April 12th. He'll speak at the Emory School of Medicine that's down in Atlanta. So that's a high honor for him, it's a high honor for us to him, to be able to address this Global Health and Humanitarian Summit. And he's also the author of a book called The Transcending Mind. To look up at check that out.
Okay.
Now, April is the economic resurrection. I already told you about it. And that's going to be happening in Newark, New Jersey. And you get in touch with Helene at 973-477-9463. You can tell you all about it. Or you go again, once again, go to our social network, find all about it. And keep you updated that way. And I think it's going to be a big, wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful event. And plenty of blessings for those who partake of it.
Alhamdulillah.
You're going down there, aren't you? Are you not? That's how?
I'm already there.
All right.
I'm going to that. Anytime it's something about building economics, I'm with that program because we need it as a community. Because I want to give more on charity. I can't give my resources alone. Because Allah asks us in the Quran, when he asks, what shall we give, in terms of charity? And Allah says, cool, tell them whatever's above your needs. So once your needs are satisfied, obligated to share something, but most of us, we just barely taking care of our needs. So we need more income in the community. That's the bottom line. Because then we can establish schools. We can establish senior citizen centers for those who become seniors and they want somewhere to stay that's not a hellhole. We got things we got to do.
Right.
And it takes money.
And we got to be. And Alivon, it's all about managing your life and the community life in the correct manner. That's the invitation to do righteous deeds, Be straight out,
Exactly. Because we know in the Quran, Allah tells us in Quran that He created us bare and alone. And Allah says, at the last day and the last hour, we return to Him the way He created us, bare and alone. But that don't mean we go through a life bare and alone. In between being bare and alone, coming in and going out, something has to be achieved. Because Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah about how to leave inheritance. That means we got to have something to leave.
That's right. That's right. And anyway, May 10th is the second annual New England Booster Conference. And that's, again, that's the reservation on itself, where the Northeast region gets together and plans their life, what they want to do. With God's guidance, I ask for God for guidance and protection and set on the road of righteousness, and you know, and make plans, you know, how we want to be, how we want to show, how we want, it's what we want to establish, how we're going to do it. That's the second annual Booster Conference. That's going to be in the Muhammad Islamic Center of Greater Hartford. You know, I used to live in Hartford for just a bit, and where they have in that particular event, I used to live there. I used to be an immigrant masjid, and they had apartments on the upper floors. For a few months, I lived there with the brothers. They had a great time, you know. And so that my memories of fond memories of Hartford. When I recall those fond days and exciting days back in the day, right there in Hartford. So May 10th, look at your calendar, and if you live in the Northeast area, that all roads lead to Hartford on May 10th. Again, on June 8th, there's going to be the ICBIC annual festival and parade right there in Philadelphia at Penn's Landing. This is a social event of the year in Philadelphia. I've experienced it myself in my hometown. And so, you know, it is many groups, you know. Some, you know, these groups that have different ideas than ours, call of Muslims. But whatever, when that day comes around, you don't even think about that. You know, no fight, no fuss. Y'all brothers, y'all sisters, y'all family. And it's just a lovely day. And I haven't seen it yet, but both times you have a Juma, it's right across downtown Philadelphia, right across from Liberty Bell. It's a special place in the Constitutional Museum or Constitutional Hall, right in those grounds. And it's an outside Juma, and whoever, you know, travels from all over the world and is in there, they get a chance to see us giving a speech, the imam giving a speech, and I think he's blessed particularly well to give a Juma lecture and see us pray, you know, right out in the public. And just such a peaceful day, I can't tell you. They have a parade, it's a beautiful parade from downtown to the river at Penn's Landing. And it was just, I'm telling you, it's quite an experience. I can't put in words, but you can go there yourself, you know, that's how you understand what I mean. June 8th in Philadelphia, the ICBIC, Islamic Council, I forgot what ICBIC stands for, but our brother Raheem Muhammad, he's in charge. He's the generator of that particular event. This is the 21st ICBIC annual festival and prayer, so you know he's doing well. Yep. So, okay, let me skip over to June 21st. That's the Maui 5th Annual Quranic Conference. That's at Master Free Haven. That's in New Jersey. It happens June 21st. That's a fantastic one as well. Let me see. And that's it so far. We got, you know, this spring, like, it's April 10th now, and you know, spring's right around the corner, and so a lot of action in the community, and that's just a few of them that's ongoing. And share with us, you know, what's happening in your area. But you want to share with us if you join the social network we're talking about. And we see what we're trying to do is make connection, a real solid connection. And we can have communication, open communication. We're open for lines of communication. So we understand each other. And we understand what we should do and how we should do it. One other thing on the social network. There's a brother named
there, Khalid?
Yeah, I'm just looking for his name. Yeah, it should be on. I'm getting old, man. I got a thousand things in my mind. And it's really embarrassing. I know what I'm going to talk about, but sometimes it just cannot get it out. You know, it's really like the same. The guy now, his name is Yahya Ibn Nathru. And he's a fantastic, he's one of the few who loves putting out material of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Uh-huh.
And this brother, I talked to one of them too. And it's very, very special for you on Facebook, or you get your own blog, or you get your own Yahoo group. So, Yahya himself, I've known him for a long time. And he's got a collection of Imam's newspaper articles and other things, tapes. Just educational materials for humanity. Like I said, he puts it out constantly. But he put out this one article that I love, that I captured and I had to share with people. Everybody know, it's right here on the social network, African American Muslim History in America. It's a long article, but Imam. And I encourage you to just copy it, come back to the website and read it as much as you can. You know, take it in and incorporate it in your mind, body, and soul. It's African American Muslim history in America. There are others too, but let me just choose this particular arc. So
uh-huh.
It's beautiful.
Alhamdulillah.
Have you seen anything this week caught your attention?
Not much, what I like them to speak on basically how they criticize the president, everything he does, you know, it's like he can't do any good by anybody because they talk about everything he does. And because Jay-Z went to Cuba, and Jay-Z was a big donator to the president, they hopped on him for that, but we do have a certain amount of relationship with Cuba at this time, you know. But it just annoys me to no end that anything this man does, if he sneezes, they say, well, he should have covered his hand with the other way. Or anything that this man does, they find a reason to hop on him.
Which is
annoying.
Very
talented. Oh, man. And how they're fighting over
this.
Caller
calling.
This gun bill.
That's what we call it, go back. You're talking about. But that happened too. This call is from 317, area code 317. We're on pretty soon. You're almost there. There you go. Area code 317.
Yeah. As-salamu alaykum. This is Lion Falls Sharif calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
As-salamu alaykum, Sharif.
Yes, sir. I was just calling in to kind of comment on the Texas event down in Houston. I covered it from beginning to end for the Muslim Journal, so I was just going to, go ahead, brother.
I didn't know you went there, or we would have you scheduled for guests like we did for the Midwest Leadership Conference. To share your observations. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about it. How you see it?
Well, I thought it was a very, very powerful and historic event. We had a situation where we had the immigrant community itself requested to Imam Wazir Ali to send them some imams that were versed in primarily in the tafsir of Imam Muhammad, who gave Jummah in his language. And they came up with 35 before they before Wazir had to actually cut off sending Imams. I mean, you know, you got 120 masjids in Houston, and you know, the large majority of them were requesting these Imams that were versing Imam Muhammad's language. That was telling, very, very telling and historical in itself, because it also tells us that the immigrant community itself has now came to the realization of the power of Imam Muhammad's language, and they want to hear it. They want to listen to it. Houston is a very, very positive and progressive city anyway. In fact, if there is a city, hypothetically speaking, of course, if there is a city that will ever turn, quote-unquote, Muslim, it will be Houston first. I was just, because like I said, there's over 120 masjids. You see Muslim businesses everywhere, and they're not mom and pop, they're not storefronts. These are serious businesses. And Wazir is on his fourth, he's building his fourth masjid. And this particular masjid, and I was taken on a tour to generate images of all the projects that were on the trestle board and those that were up and running. And I went through one masjid that's about halfway complete, and it's downtown in a very, very upscale area. And it's like 65% immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And Wazir is the imam. And he has four masjids, like I said, and he actually has to rotate on a schedule between all these different masjids. But at any rate, they brought in 35 imams. They went out to 35 different masjids in the immigrant community, and they also attended an interfaith dinner that evening where they were received in honor by the members of not only the leadership of the Christian community, but as well as the Muslim. And I thought I saw somebody that was may have been a Sikh at the dinner. It was very, very, very historic, brother, no doubt about it, to have this type of invitation. But believe it or not, that was, in my opinion, and I'm, you know, working on a story about this, that was really not the story. The story was, you know, when you keep in mind that charity starts at home and then it spreads abroad, the story was, among the 35 imams that were sent out was the young imam that Minister Farrakhan appointed in the NOI community, Sultan Muhammad, who is the son of Sultan Muhammad, the son of Jaber. I think he was the pilot of the plane. Anyway, he's been appointed as an imam in the NOI community, and he was among the 35. And I had got a chance to interact with him and to cover his participation. And that was, in my opinion, that was the story, that the NOI actually came. And Sultan Muhammad, when he conducted his Jummah, and he conducted it in the tafsir of his uncle, without a question. Without a question.
Great.
You know. And that was very, very powerful. It was very powerful. And he had a contingent of members from the NOI that were also there. And, you know, I tried to capture one shot where you had the headpiece next to the hijab, but I don't know, in the kimar, but I don't know how well the, you know, picture turned out. I have to let someone else see it. But I thought that was very, very significant to see these two sisters, or these three sisters, actually praying together. So in my opinion, That was the story. That was the story. That was like a healing. The banquet went extremely well. All the Quranic symposiums went well. And the theme in the community, the theme was standing on the shoulders of giants. So you had all these giants in our community who have had a long history of service to our community. They were also honored by some of not only the rank and file that were there, but they were honored by some of the emerging young imams who are also forging ahead now, creating their own history. So that's sort of the short version of what took place over, 4 days.
That's great. Now, you have a website that we can see the pictures of that particular event. Do you not?
Yes, but I'm not gonna upload the pictures yet because I really don't want people running to the website to look at the pictures. I would prefer that people buy the Muslim Journal and see the pictures in the Muslim Journal and see the coverage. The journal needs our help, and we have to support the journal. The journal is our lifeblood, so I don't want to do anything that will take away from the more important thing, which is, in fact, supporting the journal. So I won't post the pictures up until after the pictures have actually ran in the journal. I did a cover shot of all these 35 imams, and that will appear in this week's issue. And I think there will be some type of caption attached to it to say that the coverage is coming in the next issue and maybe in the following issue also. So we'll have three different issues that will have pictures that tell the story of what took place in Houston. So I really urge everybody to go out and not only purchase the Muslim Journal and look at the coverage and give me some feedback on what you think, but I also urge everybody to get a subscription to the Muslim Journal so that you can enjoy some of the stuff that's coming on a regular basis.
I'm glad you had a fantastic experience. Was that your first time in Houston?
That was the second time. I also was down there for the grand opening of the Masjid Warwick Hussein Muhammad, which was the main Masjid that the administrative Masjid that Imam Wazir Ali operates out of.
That's great. So, the question about the young people, was there a Quran symposium? They had Quran recitation, and young people had the opportunity to recite the Quran and speak in the language of Imam Dodi Muhammad, quote unquote.
I was really impressed with the some of the young people. And I generate some images of these young people reciting Quran, and they were doing just an excellent job on it. Their tajweed, I think that's the correct term, was very, very precise and on point and pleasant, melodic voices. That you associate, especially with young people, it was very, very touching to hear these young people and listen to them and see them with such a profound grasp of Arabia. It was really just powerful, brother. The whole entire weekend was very, very powerful. and very historic. And I think it's a signal that we've turned the corner. We've turned the corner. I think now it's a matter of shifting to a different gear now, because it's clear that we've been accepted as leadership. In fact, they had one brother, I can't think of his name right now, but he came to the banquet. He's the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Houston, and he spoke to the community, and he clearly said that the his community and the immigrant community is now looking to our community for guidance, which is just powerful, powerful, brother, when they're looking to us for guidance. And they have now realized that the key to moving forward, especially here in the West, the key to moving forward and to moving into a more prominent role here in America is the tafsir of Imam Muhammad. There's no question about it. And his language is able to propel us to the forefront of what our mission has been all along. So it was very, very wonderful, brother. And then also, I want to also commend Imam A.K. Hassan for the lectures that he gave and how he went into an explanation of some of our history. And he brought out the fact that as it started out, our name was never the Nation of Islam, never. You know, when it started out, that our lesson said that we were the lost foundation of the Nation of Islam. And like you said, the Nation of Islam was the entire Muslims that make up the whole planet Earth. It was the media in America that took off on their own and started calling us the Nation of Islam. We was referred to as the lost foundation.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't know that. I you know, that was and I guess I was not alone. There were a lot of people that didn't know that. So then they went into some of the more practical history of Farad Muhammad and what he did and what he didn't do, why he was here and why he did what he did, and why he sort of ended things the way that he did. And like I said, brother, it was just very, very profound. And then, as usual, Ibrahim Pasha, who I consider the dean of the imams, he did his thing, and he did one lecture, a very, very well-attended lecture, and it was on the history of Do For Self. And it seems...
Are you talking about Ibrahim Pasha of Atlanta?
Yeah, down in Atlanta.
Okay.
I consider him the dean of all the imams, brother. Then there was, of course, Nasser Ahmed from South Florida, who is a scientific man, and I always enjoy his lectures and whatnot, and Talib's, as well as Kubab, because he always, based on his background, he always does it from a scientific or a physical scientist view. And, you know, with me coming out of research, 30 years as a biochemist, and I can relate to a lot of things that he says in a lot of other ways that you don't necessarily hear from other imams. So he did his thing. And then, you know, there was Cotton. Cotton Ahmed was there. A lot of money was raised for future projects. So, and there, it was well attended by young people, period, who was not presenting. It was a lot of young people that were mixed in. The contrast between young and old, immigrant, indigenous, African-American, Muslim. Siraj Muhammad was even there. Siraj was there and participated as one of the 35 imams. So, like I said, it wasn't truly a day of unity. And I think it really marks a turning point for our community, brother. I think, what's that, the old Western said, there's a new sheriff in town. And I think the immigrant, the Muslim world sees that. And this is not the first and the last. A lot of imams left there committed to doing a similar exercise in their own cities. And one place that I think is going to move forward with it in the near future, I believe, will be Oklahoma City. So,
still a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to the DVDs that to be produced and presented that we could, so we can share even more or know more than we do now about what happened down there and get a good report, you know, eyewitness report. So, yeah, but I heard the same thing you just confirmed what I've heard that went on this past weekend down in Houston. And I could feel from you, your excitement, your joy, and all that. You're expressing that, you know. And you had a wonderful. Did you get any sleep yet?
Actually, I didn't come back. Most everybody left either Sunday night or Monday. I actually stayed and left Tuesday. Because I don't, you know, when I'm editing, doing my edits of my coverage, I didn't want to have to rush and do all of that. So I actually took all of Monday to do all of my edits and to transfer the images to the Muslim Journal. And by doing that, then I was able to move at a slower pace Tuesday. And it was kind of dicey Tuesday, but I did get some a little bit of sleep because no sooner than I got back to Indianapolis, Indiana, than, you know, the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper that I shoot for on a regular basis, they had projects waiting for me today. Today I shot the Day of Remembrance. As you know, today is part of the Jewish Holocaust Remembrance Week, so I've been among the Jewish members of Indianapolis, Indiana, shooting their event. I have another major event I have to shoot in the morning concerning the Indianapolis Colts and Chuck Pagano and some more stuff coming up, but, you know, I like to be without sleep, brother. You know, just give me a camera, brother. I'm happy, man. I don't need sleep. Be plenty of time to sleep, brother, after they put me in Crown Hill.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, brother.
That is fantastic. Well, you know, I think it's you're a blessing for us tonight where you were able to call in and share with us what went down in Houston. I want to thank you very much. I want to thank Allah for making it happen, you know. Because it's so timely. It's so timely. So, I'm did a lot. So, that was a great time down at the Southwest Conference of Houston this past weekend, started Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I brought you to the God gives to be a photographer of excellence, caught much of what went on in Houston. How can your impression about the city itself, how big it is and spread out with 35 mass shootings, 100 some mass shootings, you know, that's fantastic in itself. And for Brother Wazir Ali to have the mission to build at least four is there. Do you remember each one of them? Are you saying, are you telling us that?
Wazir is a very scholarly and well polished and powerful young imam, and he contrasts that, and this is what the community, especially the immigrant community, loves about him, is that they see he has these academic credentials, and they see that he is well versed in Imam Muhammad's language and tafsir, and he's well versed in Arabia, and he couples all that with a humbleness, a sincere humbleness to him, that that at some point it almost looks like just innocence. The brother is just extremely humble, and this particular weekend he didn't get to do a lot of speaking because he contracted laryngitis. And he then was able to push other people forward to speak for him. And even in this state of where he had laryngitis, he told me that he felt Allah gave him laryngitis so that he wouldn't be able to speak, so that, you know, he wouldn't put, even be in a position to put himself first or think that he was more than what he was. So just a very, very powerful young imam that I just don't have enough accolades in my possession or grasp of the English language to describe the young man. As you know, I did an article on Wazir years ago. I saw him coming, and he has not disappointed me in his growth since that article came out. I guess it's been about, well, it's been about 3 years ago. Yes, Ben, it was right around the time, right around 2008, 2009 when I did the article. So, powerful, powerful young brother. And he actually develops other imams and gives them a lot of latitude and a lot of room to actually grow. And he does the same for his own members of his masjid.
Do you have any questions or statements you'd like to make?
No, I'm enjoying this. Like, this is bean pie with Haagen-Dazs ice cream. This is delicious because, I mean, we need this type of unity in the community, you know, how we're coming together. Because Allah did not give us this great knowledge through Imam W.D. Muhammad so that it can just remain dormant or become docile and become dead. Allah gave us this message, and he gave us something superior to anything on this planet through Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I must truly know that there are those that are acknowledging and recognizing it, because we got something special. I've always known that the first time I heard Imam Muhammad teach on Savior's Day, 1975. I said, this man got something special, and it's real. So I thank Allah that, you know, we're coming together to do what we have to do, because the mission of remaking the world is still our job. It's not the immigrant Muslims that do it. This is our job, because of the suffering and the hell we had to go through as a people to become a people has, by Allah's divine destiny, has made us the spokesman for Allah. All of us.
And one final important point that I want to, before I forget, the facility was held, all the festivities and the events were held at the Istanbul Center and at the Turquoise Center, which is a absolutely beautiful and stunning facility that the Turkish community in Houston made available to our community. And, I mean, it is just absolutely just stunning. And I did take a shot of that, and I hope that I captured its beauty sufficiently that everybody else could sort of see what I saw. just an absolutely magnificent facility, and it's filled with a tremendous amount of history of the religious background of Turkey. It's just an absolutely impressive facility.
Alhamdulillah. Beautiful. So it sounds like it was a great success for sure.
Yes, no doubt.
We thank Allah. It's a great day for our people, you know. I thank Allah that, because, you know, we have to remember, if it wasn't us evolving under the leadership of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, things that are happening now would never have happened if we were still cutting corners, saluting, and saying that God came in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad here in the wilderness of North America. If we did not evolve in that language, these things that are happening now could not have happened. Because our brothers wouldn't be able to speak the way they speak if they were never exposed to Imam W.D. Muhammad. I just thank Allah that he evolved us into a higher language, and that language was the Quran, you know. And you can't thank Allah enough for his blessings.
That is so true, brother. That is so true.
Because, you know, Allah could have left us where he had founded us. I mean, who said he had to give us another leader after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? He didn't have to do that. Very rare you have one leader, and before that leader body gets cold, there's another one in his seat. That really happens in history. But Allah saw fit that something had to be done to complete a people, and the work wasn't done with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It just began with him, because he just prepared us for the coming into the great knowledge that Imam Muhammad was to share with us. Because he made it clear, I'm not here to teach you the religion. The one after me will do that. My job is just to clean you up. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased in him, he cleaned up black folks, took them off drugs, took them off alcohol, took them out of a life of sin and corruption, made them dignified human beings, had brothers with just a little bit of education walking around like Wall Street stockbrokers. So he did his job. But Imam Muhammad did the job of taking us from Chicago to the Kaaba.
It's one, just when you think about it, it's just stunning.
Hey, Khalid, I'm trying to tell you, people are going to be writing the history of this. When we wake on, they're going to think about this community. Because this thing that happened, I mean, it's just profound.
Yes. Well, you know, on Facebook, you put on a post of Quranic Arabic that, believe it or not, I was looking for myself at a particular time. And I go to Facebook, it was right there. I said, whoa, this is the one about, it was ayat number 2, it was chapter number 2, with the verse 214. And Yusuf Ali translation says, oh, do you think that you shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They encountered suffering and adversity, and were so shaken in spirit that even the messenger and those of faith who were with him cried, when will the help of Allah come? When will the help, I'll say it like that, when will the help of Allah come? Verily, the help of Allah is always near.
Always near.
Yeah, so, you know, at times I myself, because some people judge them, like I would suggest to it, just in my observation, they think that something's going to come down from the sky and, you know, they're going to get blessed, you know?
Uh-huh.
Working for it. You got to work, you know, and you're going to have to
work.
There's going to be some trials and challenges that we face. We have to pass those tests in order to get blessed, you know? So,
exactly. He's taking a
oath. So here we are. We're still looking forward to build our, establish and manage a community. You know, that's what we're looking for. Be clean. Corruption can enter it, you know. So progressive. Every human being is, how can I say, is really taken care of very well, you know, in mind, body, and spirit. So we're looking for that, you know. What we want to do is you got to get together, you got to work, you know. And what's mine, me too, it's only, like the man says, it's only the few. Only the few don't get this work done represents
America. Well, Prophet Muhammad had was a few. He didn't have all the Mecca.
That's right.
He started out with just him and his wife in the beginning. He was blessed to get his best friend, Abu Bakr. Then after him, he got an 11-year-old cousin, Ali. And then after that, he got a free slave by the name of Zayd. And the first five, got the whole planet now with 1.8 billion Muslims exist. So, you know, he started out with a few.
That's right. Hey, we got another caller. Hold on. Let me take this caller. Hold on. Bring him right on in right now. Hey, Coach 7-3, who are you and where are you calling from? Halim.
As-salamu alaykum.
Waalaikumsalam, Halim. How's the believer?
Oh, fine, alhamdulillah. How you doing, my brother? I'm out here working, and I almost forgot about the time of the program. I looked up, and I said, wow, I done missed the program.
But you know what? You're doing a good mission. You're working, Halim, and work is a good four-letter word.
Alhamdulillah. So how are you brothers this evening?
Doing fine. We got Ron Foster Sharif on the line, and he's sharing with us his experiences of the last weekend where they had in Houston, they had the Southwest Sectional Conference, and we're hearing a whole lot of good works about it.
Okay.
And we did talk about what's happening April 28th. I'm so glad you called in, too, because we want to hear what people have. It's an invitation. We encourage you to join us, you know, on the 20th, you know, in Newark. You know, have some information. It's a event page about a place on April 28th. It's one of the best keynote to stroll down the event pages on April 28th and tell you all about it. So, or you can go to the social network, too, you know.
You know, I'm really fired up about the 28th, man. It's really starting to shape up and really take a real positive form. And you know, I'm getting. And you know, on another note, the sister that you introduced to the book in California,
right.
That wrote the book to. You know,
right.
she got Paul and thank her. You know, she ordered 10 more books. Right?
Alhamdulillah.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. The book is a good, great book, and I don't blame her. You know, I ain't mad at her. But a lot of people don't know how fantastic that book is. The book is called Economic Resurrection. And just look at it. Go to the internet, www.economicresurrection.com. And you can purchase the book. It's only $14.95, and I tell you, it's a powerful book. And God chose Helene to write that book. And it's a great, great benefit to humanity.
And I just want to take 1 minute just for this program on the 28th. I mean, it's really going to be a very, very, I think a very exciting, informative program where businesses are going to interact with each other, and there's going to be about 10 or 12 different investment opportunities there with people that's already in business. The vendors there are going to have different opportunities that you can invest in with different products. Our co-host for the program, he's going to be, from my understanding, that Abdul is going to be there, and he has a product that he's dealing with that will help you as far as your health go.
Alhamdulillah, it's
just going to be, it's building up to be something really fantastic that the community can really use and walk away with something that can benefit them and help them in a lot of cases to be able to earn some money. So I'm really fired up about it. I'm fired up about it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when we're on an intermission, so to speak, I always remember what B-Man said about his father. Now, he invited people to the nation, and he would say, money, good homes, and friendship in all walks of life. And while B-Man was telling us that, he said, shoot, during those times, you guys had better say money. You know, number one, the money, good homes. But it's a true promise when you get to this way of life. It's called Alice. But you go through some trials, but Allah blessed you so much in money, good home, you know, your good family, good people. That's really home. And especially if all walks of life, you know, different nationalities, the humanity, all different colors, they become your friend. You become brothers, you know? You do. It's wonderful. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, East Coast time at 8 o'clock p.m., we have Thursday night's B-Man W.D. Muhammad. And we play a lecture right here on Station 9 WDM. Tomorrow's lecture is a fantastic lecture. It's called, the title of it is The Future Will Be Better Than Our Present. And it goes on, it's a real long title. Our desire for a progressive life. So I borrowed this from our brothers, Omar and Rashid, and they work at the WDM 24/7 station. They do a fantastic job. So we talk about the writers on Facebook, like Saeed Islam and Abdul Aqab and Yahya Ibn Mathil and Muhammad Hassan. Well, these brothers belong to the same group too, and I forgot to mention them a lot of times, but I do want to recognize for their outstanding work in sharing with the world the lessons that we learned that Muhammad he gives us. So Omar Sharif, he hosts the radio program, Papa Station WDM 24/7/7, and Rashid, he's from Atlanta, and he does a lot of YouTube videos of WDM Muhammad. And I love these brothers, you know, just because of that. So this particular lecture is from he's from Omar, you'll enjoy it. It's about an hour and a half, so I recommend that you get your pen and paper out. And then you can listen again in the future, again in the archives. And you'll really, really learn and grow from this particular lecture, I guarantee you. So, my brothers, we come to the end of another program with Conversation with a Purpose. And if anybody wants to say something, your time is said. Anybody in the chat room, you can write. I'll share. Anybody in the listening portion of program, press number one on your phone. You can write on in. So we got about 5 more minutes. 5 minutes and counting. So, Harleen, did you go to the office?
Excuse me?
Hey, did you go to Philadelphia today?
No, I'm going tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I went Tuesday. Tuesday to the cancer treatment center. But I'm going back tomorrow. Appliances. Yeah, I went Tuesday to the cancer treatment center, and they're wondering. When I go there, they're wondering, how am I doing so well?
You know, back to nature.
That's just what it is. Doing what's natural. Doing the natural thing is what's doing it.
Hmm.
You know, but they can't believe it, man. That I'm, you know, that I'm moving around like I'm moving around.
Hmm.
But, you know, all praises to you, Allah. Ah, most merciful.
Yeah, he is. So, on the line. And I sent you an email, Helene. Did you get that yet?
No, I didn't. I have to see. Not it.
Okay, just check it out.
You sent it today?
We got a website last week from a guest of ours. The brother emails to Layman. Suleiman Salam. He's an imam in Kansas City. And
okay.
It's called TaqwaGeneration.com. TaqwaGeneration.com. T-A-Q-W-A Generation.com. And it's a youth group. And I think they're fantastic in terms of, again, the emerging young people take our places, you know, they're going to take over, you know, once we go. And they're intelligent, they're bright, they're striving, and they got all signs of good signs, you know, that we should join up and work together. I think that, they have a business page where we could share the chamber, you know, with them, spread the word, and hopefully invite them to be there. They'd be there on 22, that's what I was thinking about. But we got to contact them, really give them a chance to keep their act together, too. You know? So anyway, I sent you something. Just take a look at it, please. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I'll look into that and definitely plug into that.
Yeah. It's the right thing to do. I'm glad. All right, well, it's your brother, Colin, for our brothers, Octave, Aleem, and Ron. We're going to wish you assalamu alaikum, and may God bless you. And mercy upon you, bless you, and place some paradise on you, you know. So it's in Africa, it goes like this. The peace of God be on you. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, believe me.
Walaykum as-salam.
To Mexico. Take care.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.